was praying and the Lord deposited the particular one word in my spirit, I was like, no, because that means I might have to face something I don't want to face in the next few weeks. But that's what the Lord does. He prepares us, encourages us in it. So that's what I want to do today, is encourage you, charge you in the word, and also, and through doing that, is to share some just personal testimonies in my life that may help you as well. Last week I spoke on standing in the gap and intercession and prayer and that. So while the Lord immediately had given me the word for to speak on that, I had no idea what I was going to share this week. So when I was preparing for the previous lesson, I just started praying, Lord, what do you want me to share on? And the only word he gave me was reliant. And I was like, that's strange, reliant. I don't like to be reliant. I don't like relying on others. And so I started studying it and said, well, maybe let me just go to the internet, get on Bible Hub or some one of these sites and look up the word reliant. Maybe God will, you know, reveal some wonderful thing to me. Guess what? I could not find the word reliant anywhere on there. So I typed in reliance, nothing. I was like, what in the world? I know we have to be reliant on God. So I just looked up the definition of the word reliant. And it says, confident or trustful dependence. And that's what it just struck me. And I knew from there, the Lord started speaking to me, because oftentimes as women, we have to be strong. We have to take care of our families, our children, our husbands. We have to, some of us, support ourselves. And we, in my own nature as an individual, I'm fairly.
That's my fault. I'm checking it.
Okay. There you go. No, you're good. versus self-reliance, the definition of that is relying on one's own powers. You know, I prefer to rely on myself so often. I don't want to have to rely on somebody else if I don't have to. But that's not what God charges us to do. We're to be reliant on Him fully. And when I hear that word dependence in that definition, it almost makes me feel weak. It's like, I don't want to be dependent on somebody else. I want to be able to take care of myself. I want to be able to say I can do it. But that's not what the Lord would have for us. We are to daily be dependent on Him, and not just in this state of just helplessness, but confident dependence, a trustful dependence on Him. So, is that okay? Keeps going on. It's all right. I just didn't know. Okay. So I was just thinking, you know, in America, just from the time we're little, we're taught to be independent. And in this reliance, I want to bring it to the fullness of, as we're in this day and age, we are going to have to learn to be so much more reliant upon the Holy Spirit, upon the Lord, as we go forward. And in America, in Americans in general, we are independent people. We don't like to ask for help. I mean, they always joke, husbands don't like to ask for directions. We just want to be independent. Even in the small things, and it's not even small, there's nothing wrong with these things, but I just wrote some things down. It says when we're sick, we go to the doctor. We're hungry, we go to the grocery store, restaurant. We're thirsty, we turn on the faucet. We want to go somewhere, we jump in the car, we get on a plane. We need money, we have a job. If we don't have a job, we have credit cards. If we don't have credit cards, we get a loan. It's just like we turn to all these other things. If we feel depressed, we take medication. If we're discouraged, let's go get a new devotional. And it's after we try all of these things so often, then we turn to God. You know, we try to help ourselves, we try to fix the problem. And then if that doesn't work, it's God. I need you. God, I need your help today. I've tried all of these other things. And we have to get to the place where He is our first reliance. He's the first person we go to. It doesn't mean we can't go get medication. I'm not saying so, anything like that. But are we including him on the day-to-day, every single day issue in our life? And that seems foreign, at least to me it was, to just, I know we get up a lot, we'll pray, Lord bless our day, Lord help me today, I need you. But are we practicing it? Are we fully relying on him? So Bailey kind of shared the scripture this week with us on the ladies' prayer train of the main emphasis of our of this lesson. It's Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. And she and I were discussing this this verse this week. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out and roots by the river, its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Right now, I want in these two verses, I wanted to really emphasize when we're trusting in the Lord, just like the definition of reliance, trustful dependence. It says in there, we will not fear when heat comes, and we will not be anxious in the year of the drought. And we all know the last few years, America has changed, the world has changed, our lives are changing. And we face challenges, we face individual challenges, personal challenges, but also in the global spectrum as well. And there are going to be even more suddenlies that are going to continue to happen. There's going to be more drought, there's going to be more heat coming. But can we fully trust in the Lord through this? Are we reliant on him? And have that confidence that when we go through these things, that we will be okay. And in thinking about that, reminded me, on a personal level, in 2000, the year 2000, I went on my first overseas missions trip. I was about 28 years old. I was leaving my boys for the first time. They were 4 and 6. I had never left them for more than a night. I'd never been out of the country before. So, and I'm the missions director of my church. So, you know, I'm the leader. And so I'm taking this group on this missions trip. Well, if anybody knows me, if I look at a car, if I look at a plane, I'm motion sick. So already starting out, just even getting there was a struggle. Well, we get there. And it hits me. I don't know if any of you have ever traveled overseas, or it's just that cultural shock of things sometimes. And I got there and I just lost it. Started crying. What have I done? I've left my babies. This is terrible. The year 2000. Now we'd just pick up and we would FaceTime them or we would communicate. But at that time, you didn't do that. You bought a little card and bought some minutes to be able to call back for just a tiny little bit. So I was like, how am I going to spend the next 7 days in this foreign country without my children? I don't know what I'm doing. Why did I do this? And, you know, I'm like all of these things going through my mind. I finally was able to call with my minutes and call back to Travis. And I heard his voice and I calmed down a little bit. But I was like, what am I doing? Well, the Lord taught me more on that trip about relying on him. And it was so important, and it was just what I needed. But I didn't realize it at the time, and it was through this entire week was the craziest experience on stories. You don't have, at that time, the internet at your fingertips. You didn't have everything on it. So I didn't understand what had been happening in Nicaragua at the time. Did I say Ecuador before? I didn't. Okay, it was Nicaragua. I'm sorry. Third world country. And this was really at the time. They had just gone through Contra War. They were going through all this stuff. I mean, it was a lot of unrest. It wasn't the safest place. And we had no idea. We just show up and we've got all these young people with us. And, you know, driving down the road and there's guys with all these guns. And I'm like, what is going on? You know, we have no idea. So very next morning, the first morning, we get in the car. Is the missionary had this giant car. We couldn't all fit in the vehicle, but some of us got in the car with the missionaries. We pull out from where we're staying. We get to a stop sign and he stops. Okay, then you go. But he didn't do that. He stopped and he's like, Lord, today should I go left or should I go right? And I was like, what in the world? You know, this is, I was like, what have we gotten ourselves into? And he literally stopped and prayed and he was asking the Lord which direction he should take. Now we pray, God help me, show me what we should do, this and that. But this man was being serious. He needed to know which way to go. Well, I still didn't have a grasp or understanding that God needed to tell him which way to go because of the danger that could be in the pathway, depending on which way we went. So things like that began to happen. And a few days later, we had gone to a market in the car again. The windows won't roll up in the vehicle. This was an old, I call box style, one of these big tank vehicles. So the missionary tells his son, who was an adult, he says, you're going to have to stay with the vehicle. It's not safe to leave the vehicle here alone. So we go in the market. He sits in the vehicle the whole time. I kid you not. We get back in the vehicle. We pull out the parking lot. The windows rolled up. And it was like God had told them, don't leave the vehicle alone. So it was just instance after instance like this. We'd gone to another city in that town, in the area to minister. And God had moved. It was just so great. You know, the power, it seems like when you go on a trip elsewhere, y'all have gone on a missions trip, it's just you get more fired up. It's more exciting. God's doing this thing and you're just all gung-ho. So we're coming back. There was five of us in this backseat. This is how big this car was. Five ladies. We're going through the mountains. It's foggy at this time. It's like nighttime. And all of a sudden, a man steps out on the road with this big gun, like an AK-47 style gun, and stops us. Well, you've never had five ladies in the back seat go from laughing to praying in tongues faster than you've ever seen. We were scared to death. We had no idea what the missionary's like, don't speak, don't do anything, just pray. And we begin to pray. And after he saw that we were foreigners, he talked to him for a while, he let us go. But it was just experience like that after experience. By the end of that trip, I did not wonder anymore why that man stopped and asked for a prayer, which direction did I go. He showed me in this short 1 week span what it meant to have full and total reliance on God for every single aspect of your life. Not just in the big moments, not just in the dramatic moments, but incorporating them in everything. And we are going to need that more and more as the day approaches of the Lord. So I just want to share two other short scriptures along these same lines of living in reliance. It's Proverbs 3:17. We're all familiar with this. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Are we allowing the Lord to direct our paths, and are we trusting him in that reliance? Are we confident that his path is better than what we know for ourselves? Oftentimes that's hard. But we have to know that we cannot fear. Going back to Jeremiah 17 again, we cannot be anxious when these things come. Psalms 116:8 again says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Right now, we're putting a lot of confidence in science, in our government, in everything else around us. But are we trusting the Lord and putting our confidence in him? To another story, this is just showing you, just in our walk with God when we need him. This happened in 2016. A lot of us here went through the flood. We all lost our homes. We had to truly rely on the Lord for so much during that time. And I, like many others, had our home flooded. We didn't have insurance. We didn't know where our money was coming from. So a lot of things happened that year, and I mean a lot. And it took total reliance on him. Well, that same fall, Trent ended up having to have surgery, and it was an outpatient surgery that came up unexpectedly. So he has the surgery, he recovers, everything's fine. We get through 2016, we get through 2017, we're in the beginning of 2018, and we get a bill from the hospital. 18 months later, we thought we had paid everything. And I was like, this can't be right. How are we getting this? And it was a large bill because it was for part of the surgery. And we had drained so much of our funds because of all the flooding and everything. And it was like, Lord, where is this going to come from? So we called the hospital, we called the billing, and we're like, how can you do this? This is 18 months later. And they said, well, by law, we have up to 18 months before we have to send a bill out. You owe this. So we began to pray. And this is just talking about relying on the Lord. This is how he works, to encourage you. That same week, we get a refund check from the IRS. And it was for the exact amount that we needed to cover the bill for the surgery. So the Lord takes care of us. He knows all of those things. And about the same time, this was probably 2017. We had our air conditioner had gone through the flood, but we were able to get it repaired to work well enough that it was functioning. Well, a year later, it had worn out. It just couldn't handle it anymore. And so we were going to have to get a new air conditioner. And if you know what that's like, that's not cheap. This was going to be like $8,000-$9,000. Like, Lord, what do we do? And just praying. We get notice again in the mail that they had approved through the state a credit for those who had flooded, that they could go back and amend their taxes, and received a refund. The refund was just the amount we needed for tithes and to pay for the air conditioning unit. So we live in that place of reliance and trusting him when these things come, and they are going to come. We're not free or exempt from this world. We will face these things, but our trust and our hope and reliance is on him. 1 Kings 17. This is a familiar scripture passage. This is when Elijah speaking. This is when King Ahab is reigning. I'll start in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be to you that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain on the land. And I share this just, I think about this portion of scripture a lot, because Elijah was walking in obedience to what the Lord had told him to do, to speak to the king. And out of Elijah's own mouth, he said there was not going to be any rain. So he knew what was coming. He knew that there was going to be difficulties. And in that, God tells him, get away and go to the brook. I'll take care of you, but you're going to hide by this brook. Now, my rationale, my thought is, okay, God, I'll go, but let me go to a river. At least a river, there's a little bit more water, or a lake or something. But if you've ever, a brook is the same as a creek. We have a creek on our property. It's where the Tangipahoa River starts and the water runs through our property. Well, if you go several weeks without rain, even with natural springs, you can see a significant drop in that water. And it doesn't take long before that flow starts to come down further and further until it's, you can still see it kind of flowing, but it's trickling. In my mind, I'd be like, Lord, I was obedient. I went to the king. I spoke. I did these things. I'm doing what you said. But why a brook? Have you ever thought of that? It was, to me, that absolute dependence, besides the fact that he had to rely on a bird just to bring his meat and his bread each day. But he walked in such obedience to the Lord that he trusted him. And every week when he would get up and he would see that level, that water level get less and less and less, he stayed. The scripture says, until you see it in verse 8 and it goes on, and he tells them then to get up, arise and go. But he didn't leave once he saw the water starting to, because it says the brook dried up completely. That's a tough place to be when you're dry, when things aren't looking the best, when it says he had to go and hide. You know, you're in that place of total reliance upon the Lord. I want to leave. I want to get out of this. And he tells you to stay. He tells you to remain, even when it's not looking any better, even when he knows God tells him it's not going to rain yet, even when it's rained, it's going to take a while for that harvest to come back and the waters to rise. He remains. So I've thought often of that. He didn't seek a larger body. He didn't leave until the word of the Lord told him to. He remained in reliance to the Lord. His confidence was in the Lord. And even when he did leave, he had to go ask somebody else, the widow woman, can you make a bread for me? And she had to then trust in it. And we know the story continues on. And she had to live in reliance every day. Lord, is that when I scoop my cup? Is that bread, that flour going to be there? When I turn that bottle of oil over, is it going to be there? I'm relying totally upon you, but I'm trusting you. Is Elijah confident in that? And are we confident in that when these things come upon us? And we know they're coming. And I hate to sound grim, but I'm saying this encouragement that we're all facing things. You know, I think of Angie Merchant this week. It wasn't the report she wanted to hear, but her reliance is upon the Lord. Of Bridget and Zavina. So many of us are walking through it. My aunt just got diagnosed with cancer of the liver. Pastor's wife, serving the Lord. The children's pastor for 30 plus years. Why, you know, why me, God? But we have to stand in total peace and confidence on the Lord. I don't know what time we're at. Are we okay? Yeah, there is another story. This is more recent of a situation in which I had to surrender and trust the Lord in. And that is with my daughter, Promise. Some of you may not know, you have a daughter. She just turned 19. But last year, she was graduating at 18. We had the decision of what she should do with her future. And those of you who don't know, she was homeschooled her whole life. I homeschooled my other children. You know, we had the path laid out. We knew what we were doing. Our other sons had all homeschooled and then gone on to college, graduated, done their thing. And so, you know, this was the path we're taking with Promise. We had done the same thing with Trent as she had started college in high school. So I would take her to campus and she would do some classes. And so by the time she graduated last year, she had a year of college done. So my expectations was that she needed to continue. That was my set goal. And why this was in my head, that this was success and this is the path that she needed to take. But that's the American way. You do that, you get your degree, you do all these things. Well, my parents had been, we were living with my parents while we were building the house. So they kept just randomly saying, Angela, why are you sending her there? Angela, why is she going? I know, but. And I was on campus, so I was seeing, I saw the environment. I saw what was happening. You can see some of y'all, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you have a child in college right now. My children went through college, but I could see for her the impact it was going to have. And I kept fighting it. And I fought it some more and I fought it some more. And I had scheduled her for all of her, as she was going to get free summer classes, scheduled for the fall. She had top, she had a scholarship. This was all the rational things. This would just be ridiculous for me not to send her. I wasn't even going to have to hardly pay for anything. So I was at my grandmother's house. And we're just talking, and not even about the stuff, she just stopped and said, why are you sending her to college? I just don't feel like this is right. Well, when my grandmother speaks, you have to stop and listen. She is a woman of God. So I went home, I talked to Travis, I said, you know what, we have to start praying. I said, both my parents and my grandmother have come to me, there's a reason. So we began to pray about it, and it wasn't about the money, it wasn't about all these things, it was just in my head that for me, I realized to be the successful, to say I've done it as the homeschool mother, that my child made it type, this is what my daughter needs. So we began to pray, continued to pray, talked to Promise about it. She was totally fine with not going. So I was like, what do we do? This is so contrary to everything. Yes. And I ended up going to Lee after Wednesday night service. And I was, this is where we're at. This is what we're talking about. And he just bam, 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 bam. Oh, reiterated everything we'd already been praying, everything that my grandmother had spoken, and it was confirmation. I knew I had to surrender that to the Lord and rely on him because I didn't know what her future was going to look like. And I couldn't say you have this paper that's now going to carry you into the future. It took me a week, even knowing I was going to withdraw her. And we'd already accepted the scholarship. I was going to have to go back through and do all the things. And I had done all the FAFSA, y'all know, getting everything approved with federal. We had done it, all of it. Oh, it was so, so hard for me. For a week, I fought it. I would stare at that screen. I could not push that submit button. I finally called my grandmother. I was crying. I was like, you're just going to have to pray for me. I know this is what God wants me to do. This is what the Lord's telling me, but I can't let it go. I wasn't trusting. My confidence was in this world, was in man. It wasn't in what the Lord was telling me to do. So after she prayed with me, the Lord gave me, and it sounds silly, but to have to go through all that when it was just so simple, but it was, I was fighting it. And he gave me the courage to do what I knew God had told me to do. And I surrendered it to him. And we walked away from that. And God's been faithful since then. And we continue to believe in faith for what's going on in the future. But I just share that to encourage you. There's things you're going to face. There's things you're going through that may be hard to give up, and there's a area that you have to be relying on the Lord, even when you don't understand why. When he just says, be obedient, and trusting in that. And that, sometimes that's the hardest thing. Sometimes it's not when it's the rug's pulled out from under you, but it's when he's just telling you to do something that doesn't seem logical. Or we could have sent her and it still would have been okay, but it just would not have been in obedience what God said. So in 2 Chronicles 14, just want to share another story real quickly. You tell me, how do you say this? ASA, is it ASA? Or ASA? I apologize if I'm not saying it right. Asa was one of the good kings. He was doing everything the scripture says in verse 2. He was doing what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He was living the good as a man of God. He pulled down the strongholds. He tore down the pillar, you know, the sacred pillars where they were worshiping other gods. He was fortifying the cities. He was doing everything according to what God told him to do. And it says in the end of verse 6, the Lord gave him rest. He was in that place of obedience. He wasn't walking in disobedience to the Lord. In the end of verse 7 again, it says, and he was given rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. He prospered so much that he ended up having an army of 580,000 men, we see in verse 8. That's a pretty significant army at that day and age. You think about men on foot. They were prepared. They had what they needed to go forward. He had done all the things. He had surrendered to the Lord. He was walking in obedience. And it says that these soldiers were mighty men of valor, doing everything, but still the enemy came. We see in verse 9, then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. Can you imagine? You think you're so prepared. You're spiritually walking with the Lord. You've got it together. God's being good. He's blessing you. And still, suddenly, the enemy attacks again. I can't even grasp my mind around what it would look like to have 1,000,000 soldiers out on the field. What that looks like coming at you. Talk about an opportunity of fear. Run. But I love Asa's response here. It's a response of total reliance on the Lord in verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord your God, for we rest in you. And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So he knew and recognized it was nothing for the Lord, no matter how large that enemy seems that came against and attacked him. That was nothing for the Lord. He still cried out for help. He knew where he had to turn. He knew where his reliance was. It wasn't in his own self-confidence. Well, my men can probably take it 2-on-1. That's not too bad. The odds are not that terrible. But he didn't do that. He went and cried out to the Lord and said, I know this is nothing for you. And then in part of that scripture says, we rest in you. Are we in that place of reliance on the Lord that when the enemy comes, we can still rest in him? I can't say that I'm always there for sure. But I love that. And I'll just share one more little story and then scripture. This just happened this past month. And my aunt was talking about how she cried out to the Lord. My aunt and uncle are pastors in Walker, and they run a small daycare. And it is not a daycare that is thriving as far as financially. If anybody knows, if you in a school, in a Christian environment, the margin's pretty small. And it's a means of helping the community. Well, they had, they were still doing daycare, but because it was Christmas time, they had allowed the fathers and the mothers to go a 2-week period without paying because it was during the break. Well, she was telling me that during that time, they were still feeding the kids each morning, doing the stuff, and the worker had come to her and said, my aunt's name is Becky, said, Becky, we don't have food for the next week. And because they were on such a tight budget, they didn't have the funds to go buy more breakfast food for the following week. So she's like, we're just going to have to pray. Well, every once in a while, Walmart will call them when there is extra things. It's the end of the season. They'll give their Christmas wrapping paper. They'll give toys or things like that away. Walmart called them at the beginning of this month and said, we have a trailer load of stuff. Will you come and pick it up? They came and picked it up. Guess what it was? Breakfast food. It was all the cereals and all the things that they needed.
Wow.
So encouraging you again to walk in that reliance on the Lord. I want to read this last scripture, and this is, but I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. This is in Habakkuk 3:17-19. And it's again talking about when things aren't going the way we want, when we see everything around us is just falling apart. So it says, though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails and the fruits produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout and exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like hinds feet, and he makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places. So when these things around us fail, like we read here, they don't produce. Some of us have lost our jobs because of COVID or things going on or struggling to meet bills. I don't know what your circumstances are, but each one of us are going through trials. We're going through things. And if you're not, guess what? You will be, unfortunately. But as the scripture says, even when all these things fail, the Lord is our strength and we can go forward with spiritual confidence. We can rely upon him through all this. Just going back to our original scripture in Jeremiah. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the rivers and will not fear. That's what I want us to pray in that, and that our roots will run deep. That when these things come, because it said, we will not fear when he comes, but its leaves will be green. And we will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will we cease from yielding fruit. Not only do we have, when we're walking in these stages of reliance upon the Lord, but we can still flourish. We can still produce fruit. We can still go out, as Lee's been talking about, we're in the 2-minute warning. And that doesn't mean, okay, God, I'm over here and I'm just going to wait on you until you come. But we can still produce. We can still be fruitful as we're relying on him. That it's not a place of weakness, but it's a place of confidence in him and strength in him. Because like I was saying with Lee talking about the 2-minute warning, I was thinking about that this morning. Have you ever, I'm not the best with football. But have you ever noticed when they say the 2-minute warning, suddenly the plays are faster, there is a sense of urgency, they're rushing, and yet you can come back 20 minutes later and you're still in the 2 minutes, and it's like, how does this happen? And it's like, I don't understand, it was 2 minutes and now it's only it's still 1 minute and 30 seconds left, and it feels like you're never going to get there. yeah, it's just like, it just, it's longer and longer, and I'm never going to get out of this 2 minutes. But yet they work together, and it's like, suddenly they can march down the field, and it's like, why didn't you do that in the first half? Why didn't you do that before? Why are we waiting to the end to suddenly get excited and throw the ball and Hail Mary and all these things? But in that, they work together as a team. They trust one another. They're confident what their teammates can do, and they're going forward. And that, I don't know why that came to me, but I was just like, they go forward. But don't get, don't get discouraged when these 2 minutes feel like 2 years or 2 decades. We can still walk in that reliance and trust in the Lord.